Hello and welcome to the Keeper Cup podcast. Chad Young and Pete Ball with you. And we are now, I'm trying to remember, we were a couple weeks ago. I was still hoping that I was going to get to go to the World Series with the Mariners. We might have even been long enough ago that we were still hoping for our own teams to survive. I can't even remember now. But it's been a journey. Red Sox didn't make it. Guardians didn't make it. Then I thought maybe the Mariners would have a shot. They didn't make it. And I very briefly, we're recording this on Sunday. It'll come out Monday before game three. I very briefly after game one was like, maybe the Jays can do this. And it was super fun to watch game one. And then Yamamoto threw a complete game and it's like, can they get to the bullpen? I jokingly in the Auto News Slack, I jokingly said when the game got out of hand, if Dave Roberts is smart, he'll burn his entire bullpen tonight so he can't use them tomorrow. And then he didn't use them the next day and it worked really well. So yeah, as long as they can keep throwing complete games, they'll be fine.
Yeah, there's just so much talent on the Dodgers side. It's baseball. You know, anything can happen. Yeah. I guess Scherzer on the mound. Who would you want more than Max Scherzer? Maybe in 2025, a handful of guys. Literally, but
He, in that game against the Mariners, that was I was at that game. That was the game I went to for the ALCS. And, like, he wasn't good. He was walking guys. He wasn't getting strikeouts. He was giving up relatively hard contact, and he was just getting away with it. And so I found it kind of hilarious when Schneider went to get him and he refused to come out, and everyone was like, yeah, that's what you want. It's like, dude, Schneider point has to be like, man, you suck. You know that, right? Yeah. Like, you're not good anymore. Now, he got through it, but again, it wasn't like he, you know, dominated that start. So I don't know. I wouldn't feel real good with him on the mound tomorrow, but we'll see. We'll see. Anyways, our last episode, Pete, you and I started to go through our Auto New Keeper League, or Auto New Listener League, I should say, rosters. And we talked about the bats and we went through and talked about, you know, who are keepers, who are not. We just sort of evaluated each other's rosters. And we're going to do the same thing today. We're going to finish that off by looking at the pitchers. We can't really break them into position groups other than starter and reliever. And so I think what we'll do is break them up by price tag. And we'll go over the double-digit priced pitchers, double-digit priced starters. Then we'll go over the cheap starters. And then we can go over the relievers. Sound good?
That works for me.
Well, let's start with your roster. And you have four starting pitchers in the double digits. They are a $31 Logan Webb, a $15 Michael King, a $14 Tanner Bibee, a $14 Aaron Nola, and a $13 Yuri Perez. And this is like, it's such a fascinating group because they're all somewhat difficult to decide at some level, I think. The easiest decision is probably to cut a $14 Aaron Nola, but I think Nola, like everybody is well aware of the fact that Aaron Nola, did not have good surface level stats this year. He is 32 years old. He'll be 33 next June. Everyone knows, like I said, there's no surprise here. No one's listening to this podcast being like, oh, Aaron Nola was bad this year. They're aware. He had injury issues as well. But, and I'm now currently having internet issues. And so I can't get this up. But I'll talk while I try to get my internet working and tell you that I believe, if I looked at his numbers, he performed better under the hood than it looked on the surface. And I do have that up now. 6.01 ERA is obviously bad. 4.58 FIP isn't a whole lot better, but his XFIP was 3.71 and his Sierra is 3.81. He actually had the same exact strikeout rate, but more strikeouts per nine this year than he did last year. His walk rate was up, but not like a ton. It's 2.67, which is high for him, but it's not like a crazy high number. where things sort of went sideways for him is his home run per fly ball rate went way up. And so he had a 1.72 home run per nine and also had a 315 BABIP, which is not, again, crazy high, but it's high. So it was like everything was just off by a little bit. Velocity was down 0.6. But again, he had all these injury issues and stuff. And I kind of think Aaron Nola is an interesting late auction buy low for next season. But that has nothing to do with keeping him at $14. You should cut him.
So, yeah, he's definitely a cut for me. There's no question about that. And he did lose, for what it's worth, about a half mile an hour on his fastball. And
yeah,
going to be 33. Just no.
No, I think that's right. Like I said, I think I do think there is some reason to believe that he will bounce back and be useful next year. But there's just a gap between useful and $14 that's way, way too far to bridge. Agreed. Look at your other guys. I think the next most obvious name on here is King, who obviously missed a lot of time this year. I think at some level was probably disappointing, especially in this format. Like, he gave up a decent number of home runs, but I think he's a $15 pitcher.
I was going to say he's going to be like a hold your nose keep for me, I think.
Yeah. And I don't think it's a super hard choice. I agree with you. It's one of those where you're like, cause I am looking at a very similarly priced King in the original Auto New League, which is also 4x4. And I'm trying to pull up to see exactly what price I have him at now, but I'm having the same sense of like, that it sounds like you're having of, I'm not going to cut him. I'm not really even thinking about cutting him at, I have him at $17. Maybe I should think about cutting him, but I'm not thinking about cutting him, but I'm not like thrilled. I'm not like, I've got my sub $20 ace locked in. And when I acquired him at that price, I thought, I've got a sub $20 ace locked in, and he just isn't looking like that right now. But I still think he's a keep at $15. I think there's too much upside there. And then we get into some of what, you know, sort of the more difficult choices, I think. Tanner Bibee at $14 was not as good as King, but pitched really well down the stretch. At 26, he'll be 27 in March. So he's, you know, right there in the middle of his prime. He was so, so good last year. This year, you know, the walks crept up a bit. The strikeouts came down a bit. But he, and I'm trying to find now that he did talk about making an adjustment at some point late in the season. And if you go look at his sort of August through the end of the year numbers, or not beginning of August, mid-August through the end of the year numbers, from August 14th on, he had a 3.33 ERA, a 3.78 FIP. The strikeouts were still down. The walks were still up. So, like, it's a little iffy. And I think where I land with him at the price you have him is that I think you have to cut him. But I'm going to be buying in on Bibee quite a bit next year. I need to go back and figure out where it was he made that adjustment, because as I talked about sort of mid-August and end of the year. If you look at his last five starts, his last five starts, by the way, were Seattle at Tampa, which, remember, is the, you know, homer friendly park now, or at least was for this year. The White Sox, who are the White Sox, and then two straight with Detroit, one in Detroit, one in Cleveland. So, you know, three pretty good team, three, you know, two Detroit, one Seattle, Tampa in a tough place to pitch. Over those five starts, he had a 2.12 ERA, 2.93 FIP. The walks came way down. And then in the postseason, he only made one start, but it was a really good start. Strikeouts were way up. He had too many walks in that start, but it was a good start. So I think I am, at some point before this offseason is over, Pete, I am promising to you and to our listeners that I will go back and figure out what happened with this adjustment and when it was. But I've got him on my list of guys I want to be drafting next year. But I don't think, if I'm you, I'm keeping him at $14.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to keep him. It was just one of those where, like, it was nice that he came on at the end there. Like you said, those last five starts, particularly the complete game shutout against the White Sox, but it was just a little bit of too little too late. And I think the reality with Tanner Bibby is going to be that he's nowhere near as bad as he was for most of last year, but he's also not as good as maybe he was in September. And he's going to be probably a mid-threes guy who's not going to kill you in whip. Hopefully the strikeouts to innings are 1-1. I don't know if it's going to get much better than that. It certainly wasn't that good last year, which yeah. maybe makes him worth that money, but I don't think this team necessarily needs that right now.
Yeah, and then looking the sort of the other direction in a way, you have a $13 Eury Pérez, and the reason I say look in the other direction is Perez, he didn't start the year necessarily super great when he first came up, first came back from injury in June. He was, you know, rusty. And then he was just absolutely brilliant for a stretch. And then sort of was up and down and, I don't know, had a really bad August, had a pretty good September. His first half FIP was 2.90. His second half was 4.10. The big difference there was in home run per fly ball rate. When his home run per fly ball rate corrected, his ERA came way up, or his FIP came way up. I don't know what to make of him. I feel like if his season went in the opposite order, it'd be real easy to be like, he was hurt. It took him a while to adjust. He came back, and once he got himself adjusted and into the swing of things, he was great. And instead, that story doesn't exist. And so I'm having a really hard time, maybe a harder time with him than anyone else, any of your other, this group, of just figuring out, like, what's the right decision with Eury Pérez?
Interesting. Yeah. For me, maybe it's another hold your nose situation, but there's just no chance I'm going to cut the upside of Eury Pérez at that money. I agree. If it was ordered a little bit differently, where like he started slow and then came on, it'd be a much easier decision. But the fact that those good starts were mixed in there, you know, the swing strike rate was north of 13%. And this is a genuine child. How old is Eury Pérez?
22, I think.
22. And he won't turn 23 until about halfway through the first month of the season. I mean, that is so young, so much upside, that coming off such a major surgery, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here. It does, you know, call into question other keeper decisions, though. Like, that might mean that Tanner Bibby is definitely cut. Like, if I'm going to keep Perez, you know, we'll get to Gerrit Cole, or I'm already keeping Michael King. Like, all these guys that either disappointed or were hurt last year, like, I don't know if I can take on the added risk of what if Tanner Bibby is who he was last year, and now I find myself, you know, $40, $50 in on these guys who are all just question marks.
Yeah, I think that's probably the right call. I guess we should use this as a moment to transition to the fact that you have a $31 Logan Webb, who is the one guy we hadn't talked about yet, who
worst pitcher, like, in baseball.
I know how you felt about him for so long, but Logan Webb was so good this year.
Yeah,
and he's so good in this format because he doesn't give up any home runs. Are you going
to? Yeah, I think I'm keeping him.
Yeah.
So I just think he plays up in this too much.
And I also think, like, there are so few guys that you can, like, you're talking about a guy you can pencil in for a good ERA, pretty good whip, and a ton of innings plus a low home run per fly ball, like home run per nine. And that's just, it's so valuable to have those good rates across that many innings. And so I think that makes sense, right? If you kept all four of these guys, because we already said Nola's gone, you're talking $63 across four pitchers, $73 across four pitchers, which isn't super crazy, but who are you confident in that group? Webb, and then it's like, hopefully King is healthy. Hopefully Bibee's really going to turn things around. Hopefully Perez turns a corner, and that's, it does feel like a little iffy. And so, yeah, I think you're probably shopping and or cutting some of those guys. I am now, by the way, Pete, I mentioned this to you before we recorded, but for those who don't know, Otto New, in addition to doing baseball, has both football and basketball. And I am in a basketball league one. Eno Saris is also in this league. I'm facing off with him. And I'm now looking over my stats, because in week one, he has the second half of Scotty Barnes coming up. That's all he has left. I am up by 50 points, 24 rebounds, more than 30 points in shoot and field goal percentage, 24 free throws, and I have 7 fewer turnovers than him. And that is keeping me up 5-4. I am in the process of benching the guys I had left over, who are Kawhi Leonard, Zach LaVine, and I don't remember who I had as my third guy in there. I already benched him, and now I can't tell. But benching them because I don't think I could catch him in any other category. And so I'm just going to take the 5-4 win and not risk those turnovers or like a crazy bad shooting night or something like that. And yeah. But anyways, if you like Otto New, you can check out basketball and football as well, as long as I'm mentioning it. But Pete, now we've talked about that. That maybe I bought you just enough time there to look at my roster. And I have also 5 $10 plus starting pitchers. 4 of them are $20 plus, though. I don't have anyone at 30, but I've got 4 at 20. They're a $28 Pablo Lopez, a $27 Logan Gilbert, a $25 George Kirby, a $24 Corbin Burns, and an $11 Connolly Early. It's sort of a weird situation because two of those guys are currently hurt. And like, I don't know that like none of those guys are Logan Webb good. They're all probably not all of them. At least, I don't know, at least 3 of them, I think, are better than anyone other than Webb you have, but they're also a lot more expensive. And so I'm curious what you're going to say about this group.
Yeah. I love Pablo Lopez, and I brought it up in our chat when we were doing the pitcherless mock, and we'll have a later episode on this. But I was like kicking myself that Lopez was there, and I ended up taking Emmett Sheehan at the time, but wanted to take Pablo Lopez in hindsight over Emmett Sheehan. But I still think he's the most obvious cut here, despite Corbin Burns being one of these 4 names, and we don't know when we're going to see Corbin Burns. Lopez is getting up there in age. When he pitches, he's still pitching pretty well. But what concerns me is it was another arm injury. And this was a guy who was dealing with shoulder problems earlier in his career. It's really what stopped him from being one of the best fantasy pitchers of, at least the last half decade, maybe a little bit longer, is that his shoulder just kept him out from being a consistently dominant starter. Gets in Minnesota, looks dominant, and now he has a forearm strain or something like that that kept him out for months. I'm worried about that. Whereas in Corbin Burns's case, who I would also cut in this situation, I would maybe feel better about keeping him just because we know what it was. He had the surgery. At some point, he's going to be back. Is he going to be the same pitcher? Probably not, but we've seen enough guys come back from Tommy John and look really good that, like, would Corbin Burns, who is definitely one of the best pitchers of the last decade in fantasy, would it shock me if he comes back and he still has some really good years ahead of him? No, that would not shock me. So I think Pablo Lopez is a cut. I think Corbin Burns is a cut. Even if like you really wanted him, I don't think anybody at auction is going to match you up to $24 for a guy who is currently out with Tommy John surgery. I don't see that happening. And if somebody does, I think I'd just tip my cap and say, you can have him. I'd rather invest the money elsewhere. Then we have Seattle guys. Go ahead. Lopez.
You were looking at that. You were talking about that mock draft. Where did Burns go in that mock? As Pete's looking that up.
He did not go.
He didn't go. Man. He is targeting like a July return. And so I get why in a redraft format, maybe he wouldn't go. Although I think at some point, I guess it depends whether or not you're expecting IL spots. If you don't have IL spots, fine. If you do, he's an easy late draft. Agreed. The thing that makes him a challenge in Otto New or any keeper format for that matter is, well, he is not, not young. He is not crazy old. He's 31. He will be 32. No, he just turned 31, like literally just turned 31 like this week. Next year, he'll be 31 all season. The year after that, he'll be 32. He has proven to be pretty adaptable. Even his velocity has dropped and stuff like that over time. And so Well, you're like, yeah, there's no way he's worth $24 next year. He might be worth $12 next year and then 40 and 40 and 40 the next 3 years. And so I am with you. I don't think I can keep him at $24. I do think, again, sort of like Bybee, I want to be able to pick him up. It's a different situation than Bybee, but it sort of lands me in a similar spot of like, I think I have to let him go, but hopefully get him back. And I think I'm in the same boat as you in that regard with Pablo, that I just don't think I want to have almost $30 invested in Pablo Lopez going into the season, which then gets this question of like, okay, so do I trust $52 worth of Mariner aces and Gilbert and Kirby?
Yeah, I think you do. And just to be clear on the Corbin Burns front and to put a bow on that, I don't think I would judge somebody keeping him for $24, because you do run the risk of, we get to spring training and, you know, all it takes is one report that Burns is way ahead of schedule. He feels great. And that's all it could take, you know, to get in an uncomfortable range for him. So I wouldn't really judge that. But for me, it would be a cut. In terms of Kirby and Gilbert, yeah, I'm still all in on both of these guys. It was an up and down season for George Kirby. And obviously Logan Gilbert as well, who dealt with injuries. Yeah. And I want to say it was an arm injury. Do I have that right on Gilbert?
Yeah, I think so. But they also, I mean, the big thing for me with their injuries, because like they combined for 257 innings, 131 for Gilbert, 126 for Kirby. So they both missed, you know, a third-ish of the season, something like that, quarter of the season. They both pitched in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And Gilbert had his struggles in the playoffs. Kirby had a bad start in the playoffs as well. But like, they were healthy. They looked fine. They both pitched well at times in the playoffs too. And so from that perspective, I'm not like, to me, you're drafting them as healthy pitchers because they're healthy pitchers right now. And so I'm not super worried about their injuries other than the way I would be for any pitcher who has injuries in their past, but I'm not worried about it as like a current ongoing thing the way I am with Lopez, who like, I think is supposedly going to be ready early next year, if not for opening day. Or, you know, Burns, who is, like I said, very known, you know, known situation. I still like, they are hurt right now. And so I view that very differently.
Yeah, I think honestly, I might have to really sit down and look at it, but I might have Logan Gilbert as a top five starter next year. He's been treated as such for the last few seasons. It was like the one step he really needed to take was to start generating swings and misses, and that's what he did. I mean, he posted by far the best strikeouts per nine of his career last season, even though it was obviously in a shorter time frame, only making, I want to say, 25 starts. So Gilbert, that's a slam dunk keep for me at that range. It was a 3.44 ERA, which is maybe a little tiny bit higher than what you want, but that was a 3.03 expected ERA, 3.35 FIP, and a 2.95 expected FIP. So Logan Gilbert, I'm slamming the keep button. And honestly, George Kirby, I kind of feel the same way. He looked like he really came into his own down the stretch last season. Yeah. There were a few hiccups in there, but I think that's kind of to be expected after missing so much time. And I like both of these guys so much, and to not even have them in the $30 range, but you've got them in the $20 range, I'm keeping them.
Yeah, that's where I am with them, which leaves us with Connelly early at $11. And I like, when I paid that much for him, I paid $9 for everyone up to 11. I was like, this is purely a like, let's put a bid in there. I needed some innings. I'm not going to let somebody else keep him cheap, but there's no way I'm keeping him in double figures. And then he kept pitching really well. And now I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah. The strikeouts are a part of his game. They always have been. Although this was a little bit of a come out of nowhere season. And he, for what it's worth, he made the one postseason start. The fielding let him down, as it seems to always do. Now in Boston. He actually looked pretty good in that game.
Early's stats from that game. He went 3 2/3 innings. He gave up, I had this a second ago. He gave up Where did it go? Postseason earned runs, three earned runs, one unearned run. In that postseason start, he in 3 2/3 struck out 6 and walked 1. He did not allow a home run in that game. And so when you start to like break that down, that is a 31.6% strikeout rate. That is a 26.3 K minus BB. That is a 0.68 FIP and a 2.78 X FIP. 2.47 Sierra, if you're a Sierra kind of guy. Yeah, I think that I'm interested to see if like when we get to draft season, people are like, yeah, he looked good. But like once he got in the playoffs, he got blown up. Teams got the book on him. But like he didn't get blown up. He looked really good. He just, like I said, didn't get the help he needed.
Yeah, I think everything under the hood looks really cool. I guess if there's a place to knock him, his stuff plus numbers are almost concerningly not impressive. Pretty much across the board on almost all of his pitches and including his overall mark, which is at a 98. So if you put a lot of stock into that metric, then I could see there being some concern. A number that I bring up all the time, swing strike rate, 16.1% at the major league level. That was up from 14.3%, which is still a pretty crazy number in the minors in 2025. So this is just a guy who gets a whole lot of whiffs. And so if you're buying into what he was selling this year in that really short sample, I could understand keeping him at 11 because he's another guy who you run the spring training risk of like, $11, do I do it? Do I not? If he has like a monster spring, he could go for, you know, 15, 16 bucks. Yeah. So I would totally understand keeping. I think maybe you're actually positioned where you can take some swings because you have two just bona fide stud aces at like really reasonable costs. So I don't know. I'm almost like talking myself into it. You know what I'm scarred from, Chad, is when Tanner Houck first got called up, he made, I want to say it was like 3 or 4 starts at the end of whatever season it was he got called up. I'm just going to call it 2021. I can't remember. He looked just as good, man. I mean, he was filthy. Yeah. And like, look, Houck was a good pitcher and we'll see how he looks when he comes back. Who knows when he's coming back from major arm surgery, but he didn't live up to the hype. Certainly not the hype I gave him. And I just don't want to see Conley Early go the same way. So I have some like scarring here I need to get over.
Yeah. It was 2020. He made 3 starts, 17 innings. The numbers weren't as good, I don't think. The strikeouts weren't quite as high and the walks were a little bit worse, but like that's, picking nits. Like
yeah, he had some dominance in there. He got us excited.
He was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
So with that, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to stick with my team to look at the cheap pitchers because I think the cheap pitchers might also inform some of this Conley Early discussion. All right. Welcome back to the Keeper Cup podcast. We're looking at our rosters in League 1372, the Keeper Cup Auto New Listener League. And we're going through pitchers today. We talked about the bats last time. And I just said, you know, we started with your team. And then I said, we're going to stick with mine after talking about Early, because I think there's a transition from Early to my less expensive starters that influences what I might do with Early. And I think oddly, it influences it in both directions. There's reasons in this group to make me think like, oh, I should keep him. And there's reasons to make me think I might as well trade him or cut him even. So here are my sub $10 starting pitchers. I've got an $8 Kyle Bradish, a $7 Gavin Williams, a $6 Spencer Arrighetti, a $6 Joey Cantillo. I always want to call him Joey Cantillo, and it's not. It's Cantillo.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
You learn something new every day on Keeper Cut. Look at that.
Like the name Joey Cantillo, when I first look at it, makes me want, like, Joey Cantillo makes me want to think he's like, it's a Spanish name, so it's an LL as the Cantillo. He's Hawaiian, and I think Joseph Cantillo might be an Italian name, maybe. I don't know, but it's Cantillo. It is definitely Cantillo, that I know. Anyways, a $6 Joey Cantillo, $5 Ryan Nelson, $4 Nolan McLean, $4 Trey Savage, $4 Joe Boyle, $4 Griffin Canning, a $3 Grant Holmes, and then we'll table the prospects for now. I do have a prospect in there as well. We'll talk about him later. And so the reason I was commenting that this might push me, this could push me both directions on early is on the one hand, in addition to my two expensive aces, I also have Gavin Williams, who was just as good as either of those two this year at $7, and Kyle Bradish, who, if he pitches enough innings, will be just as good as those two, I think, at $8. And so I could sit here and be like, oh, I've got those two at 15, the two $25 guys, like, who cares if I drop $11 on early? There's just, on the other hand, why would I drop $11 on early when Cantillo, McLean, you Savage, Boyle, really those guys, even Nelson, Ryan Nelson was excellent this year, are so cheap and have, I mean, some of those guys, you Savage and McLean in particular, they have just as much upside for a much lower price.
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few obvious ones here that it really just comes down to strategy regarding early, which is what you were focusing on there, because Bradish and Williams are definite keeps. And then yeah, Savage and McLean are awesome. And you have them both for a combined $8. And I'll loop in there. I'm going to buy what you're selling there on Ryan Nelson. He's a guy who I've liked. I think I had him in this league too, and I cut him for a similar price last year. And obviously I regret that. I'm not.
Before we keep going, I should mention, I also have a $3 AJ Blue Ball. I forgot I had him. I just completely glossed over him bringing it over. So he exists too.
Yeah, with great numbers last season. I think for me, you know, Cantillo is probably a cut. I mean, I don't know. That's at some point, like, how much do you want to be spending on how many different pitchers? Arrigetti, I had a tough 2025 season, and he is like maybe the face of it. I know he had the worst luck. The injury was like he was warming up before the game and got hit by a fly ball from batting practice in the hand, and it broke his hand. I mean, that's like, come on, that's ridiculous. But he was a major, major whiff for me. So even at just $6, I don't think I could do it. And Joe Boyle, I'm kind of done with the Joe Boyle experience. I think I got to tap out of that one. Look, so dominant in the minor leagues, and he just can't seem to figure out at the major league level. And it's not like he's really all that young. I think he's entering his age 27 season.
Yeah, he's not young at all.
Rate of 12 point. Like, the concern on Joe Boyle has always been the walk rate. Like, the stuff's nasty, great velocity, but he walks everybody. And we saw him for an extended period in the minor league, so much so that people were clamoring, why is the Rays rotation staying so healthy? We need to see Joe Boyle.
Yeah.
And guess what? He walks the yard when he gets to the majors again. If I had the depth that you have, I just don't see why I need to spend $4 or $6, whatever it ends up being, on Joe Boyle.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I really like Cantillo. There's probably some homer bias in there. I do think there's a question here of, like, I could keep Boyle and Cantillo for $10, or I could keep early for $11. I might prefer to just have early for $11.
I would too. I would for sure on that one. But again, I'm out on Boyle.
Did you talk about Blue Ball? Did I miss you talking about Blue Ball?
No, just that he, in this, obviously a small sample, his numbers were great, in especially in this league. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't giving up anything out over the fence.
Yeah, and he's, what's interesting with him is, like, his AAA numbers.
Wait, that's not true. That's not true.
He was giving up home runs.
Yeah.
He was only giving up home runs.
Yeah. That's what it comes
down to. And he also, like, he was in and out of the rotation. Like, he made three starts, but also had 8 relief appearances. I don't think I'm going to keep Blue Ball. On top of everything else, I don't even know if he has a rotation spot. Like, who knows what the Astros offseason is going to look like. They have some work to do, and, you know, Framber's a free agent and stuff. Like, but yeah, I think he's probably gone. Yeah. And so I think where I am is, I think, as you mentioned, McLean and Williams and Bradish and you Savage.
Yeah.
Are,
that's such a good group those guys of four are pitchers to put with Gilbert and Kirby. Like, the rest of your decisions are, they don't even matter.
Yeah. And then I think I'm a little torn on Boyle, but I'm probably going to cut Boyle, because I think you're right. And I think Nelson, my tough choices are sort of like Nelson, Cantillo, and early. I think those are the tough calls for me. I think Canning, Arrigetti, Holmes, Bluebaugh, I'll move on. I'm fine with that.
Is the hesitation on Nelson just because he doesn't get that many strikeouts and you only have so many innings to deal with? Because otherwise,
he
seems pretty well built for this format.
The home run per nine is decent. It's 0.99, which is good. It's not Logan Webb, but it doesn't cost $31. So that's fine. I just don't know how much I trust the underlying performance when he doesn't get swing strikes. The strikeout rate is not good and the walk rate is fine. But like I don't mind a pitcher with a 6.5% walk rate if he's striking dudes out, and I don't mind a pitcher with a 21% strikeout rate if he's not walking anybody. But like that combination is not super thrilling.
Yeah,
and his ground ball rate was under 40% this year, under 40% for his career as well. And so I don't know. I guess if I take away the ERA and the name and I tell you I've got a pitcher with a sub 40% ground ball rate, a 6.6% walk rate, a 21.3% strikeout rate, whose average exit velocity is 91.4, a 115 max, 45.5% hard hit against, even a 7.5% barrel rate against is not like super exciting. And so I look at all that and I'm like, I'm not sure I really get it. On the other hand, it's like, it's a 108 stuff plus with a 100 location plus, which is, so I think what it comes down to for me is I'm not sure I really believe Ryan Nelson is that good. The question for me is more at $5, do I care what I believe or should I, like, he may be a guy I'm willing to trade this offseason, right? If somebody else is like, no, I think this guy is a low three ERA, sub one home run per nine guy. Like that is who he is. Okay. I'll trade him if I can get full value on that. But if I can't get full value on that, and yes, I see regression coming. He's not going to maintain a 252 BABIP. He is not going to maintain, I don't think he's going to maintain a 9.7% home run per fly ball rate, giving up as much hard contact as he does. And so I sort of think, any of the ERA indicators, right? The FIP is 3.73, the XFIP is 4.05, the Sierra is 4.07, the StatCast XERA is 3.95. He's a 4 ERA dude. I think that's who he is. But a 4 ERA dude at that price who I play matchups and parks with is probably fine.
Yeah, see that, when you're reading off all the stats, a pitcher came to mind for me, and that's Michael Wacha, who it seems to be consistently, really ever since he spent the year with the Sox, and I'm not saying they did anything because I don't think they did, but ever since he was there and he's been a little bit of a journeyman, the Padres, the Royals, his numbers are very similar. I mean, you brought up the barrel rate is not that exciting. He doesn't really throw the ball that hard, all that stuff. And yet he produces pretty good stat lines consistently every year. It's just, is that worth it? These guys have a very thin margin for error. And is it actually even worth the $5, or is it more like a $3 pitcher who, is maybe a little bit more safe than some other $3 pitchers? I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. I we'll have to see. And this may be another case where, like, if I decide I'm keeping Early and Cantillo, then maybe I'm just like, I don't want to keep Nelson too. And it may be a case where what I do is I put Boyle, Nelson, Early, and Cantillo on the trade block, and I keep the two or three who don't get me an interesting return, and I trade the ones who do. So we'll see where that nets out. Let's take another quick break, and when we come back, we'll look at the I was about to say the bottom half of Pete's pitching, but I don't really mean the bottom half. I mean the cheap half. It's different. So we'll be back. All right, welcome back to the Keeper Cup podcast. We're about to turn our attention to the inexpensive pitchers on Pete's Keep or Cut Listener League team. This is Auto New League 1372. We've said it a couple times, but it is a 4x4 league. And Pete, I'm going to sort of just go through these guys one by one because I was struggling to figure out how to break them up into groups. And so I'm just going to go through them from most expensive to least. Starting with a $9 Gerrit Cole, who I assume you're keeping.
Yep, I think that's a keep for me.
Yeah, I don't know why it wouldn't be. He should be back. Like, he should be back early, right?
Yeah, I mean, he had the surgery in... I'm going to have to look it up. I can't remember. March. So, you know, you put him on that 13 to 18-month recovery timetable and should be back pretty early.
Yeah, it should be the... Like, he had the surgery before Burns, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's right. And Burns is saying July. So you're talking June. If I had a $9 Burns on this team instead of a $24 Burns, I'd be keeping him. So
right.
Cole's older and maybe riskier because of that, but like he also has more upside and yeah, $9, no problem. So that makes sense to me. You have a $6 Bubba Chandler who I suppose I could make an argument that Bubba Chandler was a little bit disappointing this year and that he had, you know, 31 and a third innings and 31 strikeouts, you know, over 4 ERA. But not disappointing enough for me to not keep him at $6. And like, I think you look at what he's done and I had real questions with him coming up about whether or not he could limit walks. And that wasn't a problem at all. He had a 3.2% walk rate in his 31 innings. 31 innings is not a lot of innings, but things like walk rate stabilize pretty quickly. Like you get a pretty good idea pretty soon what they're going to be. The 13.4% swinging strike rate in the majors was better than what he did in AAA and very similar to what he did across the minors in 2024, which suggests to me that he should get more than a 25% strikeout rate. And so if the strikeouts come up and he can continue to control the walks, his ground ball rate in the majors was over 46%. You know, there's just too much to like here. And this is all, this number is skewed by the fact that he was in the, all of this, I guess, is skewed by the fact that he spent some time out of the pen, right? He was a follower, not so much, not really a reliever per se, but he threw 4 pitches last year. The stuff plus on his fastball was 113. On his slider was 118. His change is 101. His curve is 101 and his change is 92. Would you like his curve, like his change to be better? I guess, but he has 2 above average breaking balls and a very good fastball. And that slider is excellent. Like everything on Chandler still points to this guy being a guy you want on your roster.
Yeah, for sure. And I think his numbers are largely skewed because he ran into the Brewers at the height of their power. And so he has this 1 2 2/3 innings, 9 earned run performance, tagged onto his season long numbers. Whereas after that, he was pretty lights out. Granted it was Washington, the Athletics and the shell of the Braves at that point. But, hey, those were his opponents and he delivered. So, it's $6. I think I have to. And I made a pretty substantial trade to acquire both him and Yuri Perez. So like I have that like mental pressure of like, I want this to work out. I gave up Vlad, Robert Suarez, a Vlad that was so expensive. I probably wouldn't have kept him. And yeah, it was a $54 Vlad, $6 Robert Suarez, and a $5 Salvador Perez to get Yuri Perez and Bubba Chandler. So that was like a big selling move for me. So I really want this Chandler to work out.
Yeah, that makes sense. You also have a $6 Jonah Tong. Tong had sort of a weird 5 starts for where sure. he had 2 excellent starts, right? He faced, his debut was against a, you know, admittedly bad Miami team. But he also shut down the Padres in sort of mid-September. Around those starts, though, he had a 2/3 of an inning blow up against the Rangers. He lasted only 2 innings in his final start against the Cubs, who are good. And he had a game against Cincinnati where he was kind of okay, but had four walks and three home runs at Great American Ballpark, which I don't know, maybe you don't want to pitch him at Great American Ballpark, I guess, but he's not the only pitcher that's true for. I think I sort of am in the same boat with him as I am with Chandler, where his minor league performance was so good that I can't really see moving off of him. The stuff plus is not as good. It's a 105 on the fastball, 102 on the change, 95 on the slider, 78 on the curve. That's a 101 overall. His bigger issue is location. He had a 91 location plus. Location is the less sticky of the numbers. And I think it's, you know, it's a thing young pitchers improve on. And so, I'm sort of in a similar boat where it's just like, I don't know. He was disappointing. You were hoping for more when he got called up, but I can't see cutting him at $6.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's like the price is too good. It just stinks that he was so bad, but the upside on Jonah Tong is ridiculous. So just, once again, I guess this is my phrase of the day, hold your nose and keep.
Hold your nose. So your next guy is a $5 Jacob Lopez. I know there are people who are high on Jacob Lopez, and I can understand why. He pitched pretty well this year, but he wasn't great. The park is terrible. He gave up a lot of home runs. The track record is not particularly exciting. And so I'm sort of in a spot where I'm like, if you have a $5 Jacob Lopez, I assume it's because you like him and want to keep him. But like, I don't know that I see it.
Yeah, he's not a keep for me. It's very difficult to maintain. I don't know. It's difficult to maintain a low average exit velocity against. That is something that we don't usually see stick so closely year to year. And that's like his main carrying skill that he needs, because there's not a whole lot else there. And with this being Otnew 4x4, you brought up the homers, you brought up the park. I'm just out on Jacob Lopez. Not a believer in the late career breakout here. Not late career, but you know what I mean.
Right. $5 Mitch Keller, I assume, is a cut.
Yeah, not interested.
Yeah. A $5 Brian Bayo, this is a little bit of a Ryan Nelson kind of situation, right? Where like the strikeouts aren't great. It's pretty easy to look at the profile and be like, do I really believe in this? But for $5, maybe it doesn't matter. And on top of that, I think Bayo's got more upside than Nelson.
Yeah, Bayo introduced a cutter this year that he really relied on, and it clearly helped him become a better pitcher. He needed to do something. It allowed him to stay a little bit ahead in counts a little bit more often. I don't think he's some amazing pitcher now. I see the 3.35 ERA, the double-digit wins, how many innings he threw, and I feel like he might get a little overdrafted in leagues this year. At the same time, I think $5 is a pretty good price, considering he's a guy who, like, you know, should be a pretty safe for innings player, I guess, at this point. And like, he's not a guy who I think is going to kill me. And I kind of need those guys because, as we've established, I already have quite a bit of risk in this rotation.
Yes. Then your next guy is Logan Henderson at $3. And Henderson, he's an interesting one because his performance in the majors was pretty good, but he had some injury issues, and his performance in the majors was so much better than his minor league performance has ever been that I'm a little hesitant to believe it, but I don't think hesitant enough that I would cut him.
Yeah, I think I'm going to keep him. I just thought he was so strong in pretty much all of his major league starts. And he, I want to say, after he got sent back down, he was pitching poorly. And I feel like it was similar to what people were saying about Bubba Chandler. We'll never know, but it's almost like they're defeated. Like, what more do I need to do to get to the major leagues? But it was just that Milwaukee's rotation was decently deep. You know, the acquisition of Quinn Priester stretched things out. Chad Patrick was pitching well. There just really wasn't room for Logan Henderson to break back in. And I don't know how much of a toll that played on him in the minors. We'll never know. That's not really something that you should account for when you're evaluating a player, but it is something that I think about. So I liked him enough at the major league level that I'm $3 and willing to swing it.
You next have a Shane Smith at that same $3, and Smith was
an all-star. right? Do I have that right?
All-star. I think he might have been. Somebody from Chicago had to go. I was going to say he was thrust into being a major league pitcher for a full season right now, despite maybe not having shown he was really fully ready. Although, you know, he had made 5 AAA appearances last year for
he was 6 an all-star
innings. But I sort of look at him and think like he was put in a rough developmental situation, being thrown into the majors without really having conquered AAA, and handled it pretty well. I don't know how much I believe in him long term, and so that I don't know that I guess I'll say this. I don't know that I want to be counting on him as a key part of my rotation. But I don't. I mean, he like as the season went on, like he made progress in his strikeout rate, he made progress in his walk rate. I think there's enough to hold on to see what's what.
Yeah, he's probably going to be a cut for me, but I would understand keeping him at $3. I think he's a guy who, like, super late in the auction when people are really holding out their last dollars for their own specific targets, that, like, I could probably nominate him and get him for a buck then. And if I can't do that, I'm perfectly fine saving $3
fair.
And letting him go.
He's actually probably an ideal example of a guy who, like, he's a great $1 flyer. But like, you don't need to keep a $1 flyer for $3. If you don't get him, you'll get some other $1 flyer. That's probably a better answer than mine. Next on our list is Noah Cameron. Noah Cameron at $3 as well. I mean, an insanely good rookie year on the surface, right? 138 and a third innings with a 2.99 ERA is just like, that's just awesome, awesome stuff. The ERA indicators are all over 4. There's no there's a little bit of a Ryan Nelson effect here as well, right? That there's no strikeouts, there's too many walks. Like, he actually has a lower strikeout rate and a higher walk rate than Nelson had. He does have a little bit better of a ground ball rate, but it's only 41.4%. And again, like Nelson, like, or it was Nelson also, yeah, was the stuff plus is all meh. He has 2 pitches, his slider and his change, that are exactly 100 on Stuff Plus. His overall Stuff Plus is 94. Everything else below. I guess, like, to me, I look at that 2.99 ERA and it's very clear he's not a 2.99 ERA pitcher. And so I'm not super excited about Noah Cameron.
Yeah. You know, I really wasn't either. But then Nick had him as a top 50 starter on his top 200. He said, quote, Cameron is a little more believable on paper, but has a shorter track record without the same leash as, he's talking about Andrew Abbott here. He has a wider arsenal, excellent command, though I hope we can see him raise his velocity to 94 miles an hour as he has displayed in the spring. He may be climbing on my draft board if he does, especially with his home park and a good squad around him. So, I feel like that is almost, I have to do a little bit more research on Noah Cameron, but at such a cheap price, let me put it this way. Out of my $3 guys, so that's Casey Mize, Ryan Weathers, Noah Cameron, Shane Smith, and I'm not going to count Morreone, and I already said I'd keep Henderson. So other than Henderson, I think I like Cameron the most.
Yeah, which I think takes us to Weathers and Mize, who, you know, Weathers, like, we all know what the promise is, but he just cannot stay on the field. And the performance this year was fine.
Yeah.
But not much more than that. Maybe not even that, given the home run problems. And the home run problems are not new. They're an ongoing thing, despite pitching in Miami. Mize looked so good to start the year. I traded for him in one of my keeper leagues, and I ended up cutting him after trading for him because I was like, ugh. He's just been so bad. He finished okay. He had a pretty good September. But I don't know. I feel like I just can't count on him at all.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I'm not sure why I keep Mize, is what it comes down to, because I don't think he's got the upside to be where I'm like, oh, I'm willing to throw $3 and see what happens. And I don't think he's reliable enough to be like, well, like, you know, if we look back at, think about my team, like, we're talking about Nelson is like, yeah, he'll be fine. Like, maybe there's upside for more, but he'll be okay. And then Boyle, you could be like, man, if he can control those walks, we know he can miss bats. Like, Boyle could be special. Like, Mize just sort of falls in between for me, where I'm like, I don't really know what to make of him. But he finished the season so strong after starting the season so strong.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm out on him. I am. Okay.
So that's the list of pitchers. Let's now, or to your starters. Let's now look at, well, I was going to say both prospects and relievers, but you don't actually have any prospect pitchers, I don't think. So we can just look at relievers. You have a $5 Jeff Hoffman. To me, like, he didn't have a very good year, and 4x4 relievers are not worth keeping at high prices, so he can go. You have a $4 Luke Weaver, who,
see ya.
Again, I think just not enough there. You have a $4 David Bednar, and I think he's played his way into being a keeper again.
Yeah, I'm planning on keeping Bednar.
And then Morejon, he's an interesting one, because to me he looks like a keeper if they keep him in the bullpen. But now there was talk of him moving to the rotation. If they move him to the rotation, I'm maybe less excited about him. But I think you keep him regardless, because it seems like one of those things where if they move him to the rotation, it might hurt his numbers. But like, if they think he belongs in the rotation, why would you not take a shot at that?
Yeah.
And then Daniel Palencia, I think at $3 is a keeper.
I think he is too. I know obviously 4x4 doesn't count saves, but I'd feel better if the Cubs committed to him as their closer for 2026. Like, I feel like that would be the organization showing, like, no, we believe this kid really is this good.
Yeah.
Because he had some bumps along the way in the second half there. And I could see the Cubs easily just replacing him and going with some big market closer.
Fair enough. I think to me, I'm not worried about that. I think if they went and got a big market closer, I guess I'll say this. I want to see them do one of two things. Either say, we've got a closer, we don't need one. Or say, yeah, we went out and signed, I don't know, who's the best free agent closer out there?
I don't even know. Kenley Jansen.
Okay, that's not the name I was looking for. That might be.
I don't even know if he's a free agent. He might not be. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to crazy hypothetical land. Emmanuel Clase gets reinstated and the Cubs trade for him.
Sure.
If they go out and do something like that, then it's like, that doesn't even have anything to do with Palencia, right? Like,
yeah,
you could have a guy you believe is the best closer in baseball, but if you could get the actual best closer in baseball, you go do it. So I'm like, I want to see them do one of those two things. Either go get someone who's so good that you're like, of course, or commit to him. My bigger concern will be if they're like, he's the guy they keep, and they're still not really committing to him, and they're not really sure, and blah, blah, blah. Like, then I get a little iffy. But I think the numbers are good enough that for $3, I'm probably holding him anyways. You can always cut him in April or May if you need to.
Yeah.
Looking at my relievers and prospects, I do have a couple prospects. Ben Joyce, I've liked Ben Joyce for a long time. He's hurt. He has not been good. I'm not keeping him for $4. If he's healthy coming into spring training and there's like, oh, look at his velocity, blah, 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 I'll probably buy back in again because I can't quit him. But I'm not keeping him for $4. Hunter Gaddis for $4, I think is going to be on my trade block. He wasn't quite as good this year as he was last year. He's been a little bit homer prone. And I don't want to spend $4 on a 4x4 reliever who's giving up home runs.
Yeah.
Abner Uribe, I will keep for $3. 75 and a third innings, 90 strikeouts, and home run per nine under 0.5, ERA under 1.7, whip of 1.04. Yeah, for sure. Stud. What?
Stud.
Stud, yeah. Very intentionally skipped over and now coming back to Reed Detmers because I really liked what he did as a reliever, and now they're moving him back to the rotation, and I don't think I'm going to keep him at $4. I think I would have kept him at $4 as a reliever. I'm not going to as a starter. I might buy into him. I'm Detmer's a little bit like Joyce. Like, I believe in the talent, and so I may try to buy back in. Maybe he's like the Shane Smith, right? It's like, if I can get him for a buck and late in the draft, that's fine, but there might be someone else I'm just as happy to get for a buck late in the draft. So those are my relievers. My two prospects that I have are a $4 Liam Doyle, and a $2 Gage Jump. I'm probably going to wait and see what prospect analysts have to say about those guys before I do anything and find out where Doyle is going to start the year. If Doyle's starting the year in like double A, I'll probably keep him. And I think I'll probably keep Jump because he should be up next year and he looks really good.
He's going to make the jump.
Going to make the jump. I've got to gauge how good he is, but I think he'll make the jump.
Wow. That's what you come to Keeper Cut for. That's why you stay till the end.
Yeah. So, I mean, are you cutting either of those guys? Are you keeping both of them? Do you have strong feelings in either of them?
No, I think your approach is the right approach. Let's see what the market is saying before you have to make that decision. I like to be patient with prospects in these because they can get expensive quick, but they can also be the difference between a championship team and a team that's selling every year like mine.
Right. All right. Well, I think we've gone over probably 40 pitchers in this episode, which is a lot of pitchers to go over. So hopefully this was useful, interesting. We do need to go over the pitcher list mock to way too early mock draft that theoretically we participated in, but Pete did it. I just, offered some advice here and there. So Pete and I will talk through that probably next week, maybe the week after. I'm not sure when we'll be back, but the next time we're back, that'll be our topic. Thanks all for joining us. I hope you have a good week.